What if autism isn't a barrier to love, but offers a unique lens through which to experience it? Kay Kerr's groundbreaking exploration flips the traditional narrative on its head. Instead of focusing on what autistic people lack in relationships, she celebrates what they uniquely bring to them. In a world increasingly recognizing neurodiversity, this perspective arrives at the perfect cultural moment, offering validation for autistic readers and illumination for everyone else. The language we use matters profoundly. Many autistic people prefer identity-first language, I am autistic, over person-first, person with autism, because autism shapes their fundamental experience of the world. It's not something separate from identity, but integral to it, similar to how we say gay person rather than person with gayness. Harmful oversimplifications like high-functioning or low-functioning create a false dichotomy. Either your challenges aren't taken seriously, or your capabilities are underestimated. The reality is far more nuanced. An autistic person might excel professionally while struggling with basic daily tasks, or may be non-speaking yet highly intelligent and capable. Masking, hiding autistic traits to appear neurotypical, further complicates this picture. Many learn to present as less autistic for safety and acceptance, often at tremendous personal cost. This might involve forcing eye contact, suppressing stimming behaviors, or mimicking social cues they don't naturally feel. The mental health implications are significant. Chronic anxiety, depression, and burnout often result from sustained masking. What if we moved beyond these limiting frameworks? What if we recognized autism as a neurological difference with its own strengths and challenges rather than a collection of deficits? Michael's story begins with specialists claiming he'd never express love or show empathy after his autism diagnosis. Reality proves them wrong. Now 28, Michael has become a breakout star from ABC's Love on the Spectrum and hosts a popular podcast. During interviews, he doesn't maintain constant eye contact or sit perfectly still, authentic, autistic behavior rather than rudeness. His freedom to be himself highlights the unnecessary burden of masking that many autistic people carry. After stressful school days, Michael retreats to his quarters to regulate emotions by acting out scenes from favorite TV shows. In his search for romance, Michael values kindness and loyalty over physical appearance, embracing autism as an intrinsic part of his identity. Jess learns to read early by memorizing her favorite picture book, a common example of hyperlexia in autistic people. Indoors, her body fills with nervous energy that she releases through movement, though she feels shame about these behaviors even when alone. At 12, she discovers a pamphlet about Asperger's that perfectly describes her experiences. Her closest friendships form online, including her first autistic friend with whom she can finally be herself without explanation. Without workplace accommodations, Jess cycles through jobs, reflecting the reality that autistic individuals face unemployment rates 6 times higher than neurotypical people. Eventually, she begins unmasking with her psychologist, developing coping mechanisms for sensory overload at work. Chloe and Jacob embody neurodivergent opposites attract. She experiences intense emotions, while he struggles with emotional awareness. She's independent, he relies on family support. Their sensory preferences contrast, with Jacob enjoying loud environments that overwhelm Chloe. Despite these differences, they connect through shared kindness, recognizing each other as kindred spirits. They manage executive functioning challenges through apps and delivery services. Though their interests differ, they enjoy sharing space while pursuing individual activities, exchanging TikToks, building Lego sets, and appreciating each other's small joys. Their direct communication style might seem blunt to outsiders, but works perfectly for them. Both couldn't imagine being with neurotypical partners who expect mind reading instead of straightforward communication. Their relationship embraces autistic joy and mutual understanding that allows them to be themselves without judgment. Noor, a bookish child who emigrated from Malaysia to Australia, faces racism and cultural challenges in her new home. When menstruation begins, she experiences it as a sensory nightmare rather than the inconvenience her mother describes. At 19, she enters an emotionally abusive relationship through a campus Muslim group, ending in divorce by age 21. After focusing on law school while managing mental health issues, she meets her future husband through mutual connections. During their second meeting, she bravely discloses her bipolar diagnosis. Though he initially leaves to process this information, he returns after researching the condition, valuing her honesty. He later becomes the first to suggest she might be autistic based on her sensory sensitivities and communication style. Now a mother, Noor tells her autistic daughter, "It's the way Allah created you and me, and there's nothing ever wrong in that." What if autism isn't just a collection of challenges, but also offers unique gifts? Autistic sensitivity, often framed as a liability, can be a source of profound joy and connection. Chloe experiences music with such intensity that it creates euphoria, leaving her paralyzed with happiness. The vibrations course through her body, creating a multi-sensory experience where sound becomes almost visible. Her autistic sensitivity allows her to experience good things in ways non-autistics can never even fathom, from rainfall patterns to complex harmonies others might miss. A viral tweet about neurodivergent love languages offers alternatives to traditional concepts: info dumping, sharing passionate interests, parallel play, finding comfort in shared space while pursuing individual activities, support swapping, offering practical solutions, deep pressure input, weighted blankets or tight hugs, and gift giving, sharing items with special meaning. These stories reveal a reimagining of connection. Far from deficit-based narratives, we see relationships flourishing through directness rather than social niceties, through shared understanding rather than neurotypical conformity. Chloe and Jacob's relationship works because they've abandoned the expectation that partners should read each other's minds, instead communicating directly. Noor finds safety in her husband's acceptance. "It is okay that this is how I am." Michael refuses to change himself to find love, valuing authenticity over accommodation. These relationships challenge conventional wisdom about connection, suggesting neurotypical relationships might benefit from more directness and explicit communication. This isn't just about autism. It's about the fundamental human need for connection on our own terms, celebrating difference rather than merely accommodating it. Autistic individuals bring unique strengths to relationships: heightened perception of overlooked details, direct communication that cuts through ambiguity, intense focus creating deep connections to shared interests, and loyalty forming the foundation of lasting bonds. When freed from masking expectations, autistic people often develop relationships with unusual depth and honesty. These narratives reveal there is no single correct way to experience human connection. The diversity of relationship styles, from parallel play to intense shared focus, from direct verbal requests to nonverbal expressions of care, enriches our understanding of what it means to love. By embracing these different ways of connecting, we create space for meaningful relationships that honor authentic selves rather than demanding conformity to a neurotypical ideal.